perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. All right. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. All right. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills tonight.
Well, hello there, and welcome to episode 204 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons, so please go today to patreon.com/grills and help us out. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm joined by my co-host tonight, Linda, and Ray.
Hello.
And the Jen is here with us today.
Hello.
Yay.
From original grill to guest host star.
Yeah, original grill to guest grill, which is fine. That's okay.
Superstar, I'm sure everyone's here to see you.
No. This is, it's an important one.
Okay, so today we're going to forego our normal catching up with each other and letting you know what kind of nerdy stuff we've been up to, because this is a really heavy topic. It's been had an effect on each of us and our gaming lives. We've done episodes before about women in podcasting, women in media, women in gaming, and this Activision Blizzard thing affects some of us more directly than others, but we all have things to say. So we're going to dive straight into that. I'm going to give a content warning. If you are triggered by things like suicide, sexual harassment, all that kind of horrible workplace nonsense that's been talked about a lot lately, you might want to skip this one. And there we go. So, as anyone out there who listens to us, because you're not here if you're not a geek, I'm sure you've heard that Blizzard is being sued. Well, they're in a lawsuit with California. For a heinous series of abuses toward women. Physical abuse, humiliation, sexual harassment, and underpaying women. And it's been a very long history, a very storied history of what they refer to in the lawsuit as frat boy culture. So we're going to talk about that. Who wants to start?
I think the big thing you brought up is that it's heinous. And it is. It's pretty bad. Also, I just want to be clear, in a country where people are like, okay, somebody's suing somebody, okay. This is not just a lawsuit on the part of an individual versus Activision Blizzard or a group of individuals. This is on the part of California's Department of Fair Employment. So this is actually after by a government agency, essentially, or government division in California. That's a big deal. It's not as if it wouldn't still be a big deal if it was just a suit on the part of a person, but I do think it adds a lot of credence to it, because things like that don't get to that point unless there's enough to justify it. And this has been going on for years. The investigation over 2 years, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And as a Blizzard fangirl, who has on this show talked about my experiences with Blizzard and my experiences at BlizzCon and meeting some of the people that are brought up in this lawsuit by name, is very challenging. It's been a really tough couple of weeks. I just felt like it was absolutely necessary to come on and have this conversation with you all. But yeah, so I just want to point out that this isn't just a personal lawsuit. And I think that does make a really big difference.
Oh yeah, I mean, the violation of outright, you know, labor standards on top of the sexual harassment, I mean, part of the reason it probably took so very long for this to come to light is because of things like contract-based employment, and I wish that would stop. But mm-hmm. I'm also, you know, very, very pro-union and stuff. But a lot of the gaming industry does this contract-based stuff. So not only everyone expects you're going to have to send or sign a non-disclosure agreement, but they don't think about they're forced to sign mediation agreements, that they won't take any complaints to any government agency or the law or anything unless they seek inside mediation first, and it's part of their employment contract. And that keeps shit like this under wraps for way too long.
Yeah, it's yep. It's infuriating is what it is. Like, I knew that there was something in the works because we have it posted in our notes, but one of the YouTubers that I watch has done I don't even want to call it an expose because that's not really what it is, but she was talking about like Activision and Blizzard just as a company. And she talks about bad companies, so that tells you where that is. But even before like all of this came out, she was like, there's some lawsuit in the works, and then this broke, and she did another episode about the lawsuit in particular. And
so just to give us some context to this, I think it's important that we give some context of what this is about. If you're not someone who's been reading all of this news and that this is new to you, just to give some examples, I think the one example that is prevalent is the commentary at work. Apparently, it's a very, the frat boy culture, they kind of, at events, they talk about women like conquests and things like that, and they have the suite that they call the Cosby suite because it's where they take women to hook up, and it's something that they talk about in chats, and we have screenshots of conversations that quite frankly make me uncomfortable. And then like the cubicle crawl and the commentary and the sexual jokes, and one of the other big reasons, if it's okay to bring it up at this point, but one of the big reasons why I also wanted to speak on this topic is because before teaching, which is what I'm doing now, I was in the world of sales for a long time, and I was in sales call centers, and I worked for a mortgage company in a call center environment. I worked for an ISP, and these types of things, as I was reading it, were very similar to things I have experienced, especially being one of the only few women at many of these workplaces. Things like guys watching porn at work, things like them showing, sharing, talking about hookups all the time, like nobody cares. I mean, I think the most egregious was probably when we were supposed to go to a casino and we got $100 to gamble with, and then the party bus, instead of going to like the other planned stop, they decided to take it to a strip club. So it was me, 11 of my coworkers, my boss, and my boss's boss at a strip club where I was the only female, but that was our reward for high sales. And this was not in 1980-something. This was not in 1990-something. This was in like 2013, okay? Somewhere about there, you know, early 2010s. Okay, so it is still happening, and part of me is glad that a big company is being called out for this, because the more companies that get called out for it, the more likely it will stop happening. I came out of that with definitely a lot of trauma. I didn't want to take another sales job. I was afraid to go apply for a sales job ever again coming out of that one, just because I was so overwhelmed. I think probably the cry board was the other thing that really got me. I was the only female loan officer, and their favorite thing to do was to keep track on a board, a dry erase board, of how many times I cried. Or they'd leave tissue on my desk. And that seems like not a big deal, like kind of jokey. I used to call it locker room, but it's not okay.
No, it was a big deal. And I remember you calling me like from the parking lot at work when this happened.
My gosh, yes, when these things were happening, you got it. And that's a big thing. And so when I was reading this, I'm just like, this is so familiar. And this is so much of what I've experienced. So I imagine that this Blizzard is not the only one, okay? But again, the more companies that get called out and get taken to task, the more that we can handle this on a bigger scale because it's happening all over the place. It's happening everywhere. It's not just at Blizzard, and it's not okay. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize how real this is, and that's one of the reasons I get so mad about Frances Townsend. For one thing, why did they ever hire that bitch? That is weird and suspect and scary as hell to me.
Give everybody some background. Who's Frances
So
Townsend?
Frances Townsend was working at Blizzard as part of the company's women's network. She was hired some years ago. Her previous jobs was with the Bush administration, being a waterboarding and torture apologist, basically. Why a gaming company decided to help have her come in and help handle women's issues might have been a red flag if we had been paying attention to that. And she was one of the people that wrote an internal memo when the lawsuit first dropped. That was, I think, the most heinous one I've seen. Even though, yeah, there were awful ones by, the company president who's now gone, and other men who were just in denial and using legal speak and not apologizing properly at all. But hers was like gaslighting. Oh, all of these claims are so inaccurate and from more than 10 years ago, and no one's ever harassed me like that here. That's not my experience, so I don't believe it's true, basically. That kind of gaslighting bullshit from another woman high up in this company was nauseating. And not only is she not gone, this 2 days ago, she stepped down from the company's women's network, but she's still their chief compliance officer. Their
Well,
response has been heinous. Heinous. I think
yeah.
they've responded to a single demand from the walkout and half-assed it at that.
Yeah, it's no wonder that all the complaints, see, people were the women were afraid to like go to their HR and report things because, nothing would happen and then they would be singled out, which is something that happened.
Yeah, it's even like really clearly stated in the God, the official like California state of California. It's on page 3, right here. Workforce is 20% women, as opposed to like the large and diverse customer base that they support.
That's another
And
thing that gets me is the hypocrisy. Just the whole hypocrisy of them being like, we're inclusive, we do blah 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 blah. And it's like,
right, like,
that is
but the CEO and president roles are now and have always been held by white men. Few women ever reach top roles at the company, and those who do reach roles have less in salary, less incentive pay, and less compensation than their peers, according to their own records.
and while I'm appreciative of the fact that they are pretty, they have historically been decent to their LGBTQ plus, I'm sorry, the alphabet soup, I'm so bad at it, to their Saga employees.
There you go.
I appreciate that, but now it makes me, the big thing it makes me question and I'm glad that I think Scott Johnson was the one that I remember bringing this up in conversation, but it makes me wonder when people like Mike Morhaime and all these other people have left over the years, and Ben Brode, and just the high number of people that have left, it makes me wonder, did they leave because they knew that this was going to go down and they didn't want to be on the bad side of it? Or did they leave because they knew it was bad and they didn't want to be working at a place that was so garbage? Like, it makes all of those departures suspect now. And I hate that feeling. I hate that feeling so much. And I hate that they propose all of this. Okay, we have, we're inclusive in our stories. We make sure we have, I mean, let's be honest, strong female characters have been a part of the World of Warcraft franchise for a long time. You've got Ysera, you've got a million of them. I'm not even going to say them all because there's tons and tons of them. But what I appreciate that. But now that just makes me feel like it's even more hypocritical, because you're trying to get me on board as a female gamer to believe that Blizzard is one of the good ones, one of the ones that really cares about women and cares about female gamers and cares about the fact that, let's be honest, it probably has a higher percentage of female players than many other games. World of Warcraft, that's historically been the case. It has always had a higher percentage than many other game modes and games out there.
It throws everything they do into the light of, what if this did they actually believe in, and what if this was just to cash in?
Exactly.
Yeah, and were they just rainbow washing? Are they just, you know, whatever, like, trying to take advantage of it? Absolutely.
And figure out the time frame.
That pisses me off.
I will post in our notes some of the videos that Linda was sharing about the YouTuber she was talking about and the history of Activision and Blizzard. And it kind of traces how Activision, even before it became, kind of took over Blizzard, have always been so profit motivated, and like mm-hmm. they needed to be for a little while. And it seems like they just stayed on the dark side.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. The video of the young woman who was asking about armor at BlizzCon some years ago. And, there's another Greg Streets half-assed response, like, well, I should have spoke up. Because, their responses were disgusting. And if I were, I missed it, or I would have probably caused a big stink then.
That's the thing, is I remember when it happened and it disappointed me, but I kind of felt like it was like, okay, it was the convention, it was the folks that were there, it was that individual person. But again, now it makes me want to go back and wonder, was it? Is
it's like
it?
What's the armor thing? Is this like,
oh, okay,
white,
so I'm sorry. This was
male models, some female models? Or?
This was at BlizzCon. There was a question from someone there who was asking about armor for women and why it's so much more revealing, and just asking about that in the games. Yeah, exactly. And then there's like a little bit of like it was a bro response. It was a dude bro response. I wish I could call it anything else.
With it on or some crap like that.
Oh, well, and then they were even like, they made a comment and they kind of just dismissed her. They kind of made fun of her, actually. Like, legitimately, they made her feel like she was even dumb for asking that, because they all were like hooting and excited about partially naked women, I'm a bisexual woman, okay, so I am not gonna complain about, let's be honest, there's some reasons that I like some of the characters, okay, and that's okay, but that doesn't mean that every character needs to be objectified, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't put a lens on it. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be allowed to take a woman seriously who brings up a concern.
Yeah,
in a way that isn't just embarrassing.
It doesn't mean that you get to put someone down for asking a legitimate question.
There's nothing wrong with the half armor, but if this cloth armor is going to be like open sides on the female model, why isn't it open sides on the male model? That seems thing.
This is going to sound lighthearted, but this is a thing that has pissed me off for a long fucking time about WoW. And this is, I never really talk about it, because I usually don't ever talk badly about Blizzard, but it has pissed me off for years that the armor looks different on the different races, right? So on all of the races that are tall and skinny, everything is super revealing, except for on dwarves. Chubby short ladies aren't allowed to be sexy, and that has always pissed me off. Anyway, just throwing it out there. Me off.
I used to have the WoW problem. Model viewer for, like, specifically because I wanted to look cool, and I had to check it on all of my characters, because it's always different, and there's no consistency. And it's just a small little things that's like,
why can't my dwarf wear a sexy robe? Okay? She's getting some somewhere. Come on. Like, seriously.
But yeah, it's like all these little things, and like,
we're
looking to the bat behind the curtain, and like, there's so much more.
Well, it's disheartening to know that it's coming from the top of their company. You know, there are people that are trying to defend, being like, it's just this one person, or it's just that one person. No, that's the corporate culture.
It's the culture that's being perpetuated and allowed to continue. This should not be. And I think this might be a good time to bring up the episode we did. I don't know if September you want to do that.
Yeah.
I think that might be a good thing to bring up.
So I mean, we did an episode back at the beginning, like the second episode ever or something, about the state of women in podcasting and streaming and gaming and like the whole booby streamers thing. And then we did another episode 2 years ago, episode 131, if y'all want to look for it. And I'll link that in the notes too. And I listened back to it a few days ago. And it made this hurt even more because we have been doing this for a long time now, and we've been watching the female community grow as just being more respected. I mean, when's the last time we had somebody come in and ask us to even, you know, show our boobs or anything, or make comments on our appearance? It doesn't happen as often as it used to. And those trolls and just more people in the field, you know, get Glitter Dice and Lisa Lead is back. And it felt like we were in such a good place and finally being catered to, because some years ago in the gaming industry, it was realized by these companies that, like, wow, there are more women than men buying these games. And we really felt like we're
and
on
not
the
just
cusp
buying
of this
the
change.
Games. Buying then, the stuff around the games. That's the other thing you have to remember. One of the reasons that women have become such a force in the gaming industry is because we are more often the ones that buy the plushies and the dresses and the shirts and the shoes and the hair stuff and the whatever they put out and the prints and everything else. I'm not saying men don't. It's just the data shows that the percentage of women that buy that is higher. Yeah. And
but even... Yeah. Profit driven, it the culture of the way you treat your women in the workplace, your coworkers, and bother to hire them has not changed.
Yeah, and you'd think that even with the profits being what they are, this, I mean, so one of the things that about that episode that got me was I really did feel like it was in a better place. And then we had finally we had a female champion at Blizzard at a BlizzCon event that gave me hope. But now I'm even wondering, is this pervasive problem part of the reason that there haven't been female champions before this one? You know, finally, maybe there isn't room for them and there hasn't been space for them that they feel safe in. If you go to a BlizzCon and there's dudes trolling around who are kind of endorsed by the company. I mean, not really kind of. Endorsed by the company, rolling around looking, trolling for dudes or trolling for chicks. And they're just in packs, you know. That's intimidating. As a woman, would you want to be in an event where you're there to play a game and do that? I wouldn't want to be in a LARP event like that, I can tell you. Like, I would, let alone want to participate in high-stakes competition, you know. That's just not... And it throws you off your game. It just makes me wonder a lot of things about many, many, many things. And it just, I think, Linda, you said it well. It really shines a light on all aspects of this. It really makes you recognize all the levels of hypocrisy.
And we have to keep talking about it. And we have to stand up for ourselves. That's something, like, listening to the supplemental episode of The Instance, and that Jules, you know, went to Scott and Johnson. It's like, you know, Frog Pants is guilty of this. You don't have any female co-hosts on any single show, and why aren't you doing better? And we have to take them to task. And I know, Jen, you've thought about it. We've had women leave the community, and like Scott said,
I mean, I have literally, The Instance was the first podcast I've ever listened to. Okay. Yeah. So The Instance is very important to me because it was the first podcast I ever listened to, and it's important. It's just important. And to listen to it, and the number of times that there has been a female on the show, not even just a regular host, but I mean, maybe Jules, Jocelyn, maybe a couple times.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. The end. And that's not good for the amount of years that show has been on. And I'm really glad that Jules went on there with Scott Johnson and had that conversation and really said, you need to take action. because it's not just you. And then he did bring up a point that I found was interesting, which is that, how, I never thought to reach out to women. I thought if they wanted to be on, that they would reach out to me because guys did that. And I was like, okay, I could see that. At the same time, men out there, take this as a message. You don't need to just be there to receive that. You need to be proactively ensuring that you have a diversity of voice in your conversation. I was livid at Scott's first conversation about this because it was with a male co-host, and I was at all places at the gynecologist. So I was just like, I was not. I was like, there was a lot of factors there, but I
And
was definitely having one of those moments.
I've been dying to bring up to him, and I haven't in conversation yet because I know he's been really in the thick of this heavy. But years ago, when we went to a meetup in Vegas, and I met with Nicole, and Ladies Elite was on hiatus, and I told her about how Geek Girls, in part, like we wanted a women-hosted show because you guys were on hiatus, and we wanted women's voices instead of just, occasional guests and stuff. And she looked at me and she said, "Owen, here I am just doing a regular guest spot." And it was like a knife in the heart. Like, I was trying to tell her how she was inspiring and anything, and she just immediately heard, like, "Yeah, and here I am just doing that exact thing." And I was like,
But
no,
I
that's not what I
mean,
meant." And Scott should hear that from her or from me, like, to realize that, even more. I mean, I hate to keep poking him. And I do want to give him props because he's done something actually tangible now.
oh yeah, his artwork, right?
He made this
And then
beautiful piece
the
of art that is a broken hearthstone, and it's called No Way Home. And when he first posted it, I was like, "Can I use this when I do my show? Or I want to use this art." And then a couple days ago, he put out t-shirts, stickers, buttons, and prints. And the proceeds are supporting Black Girls Code in Dallas, RAIN, and Women in Games International.
And the other thing I love about it too that he did is he gave you the option of choosing which of the three charities you want to support when you make your purchase.
And for each thing, like, we bought more things and we gave to every charity. Sorry, I'm gonna cry again.
And
We were
here's the
sitting
thing. I
at
mean,
we
he
were
comes
sitting at
with
the
this.
brewery, and it came up in my husband's feed first, and he showed me, and I just started crying. It was like this relief. Like, I still want to see Frog Pants be less of a sausage fest and them not
Same.
be getting all the attention to,
I
like,
want
cute drunk
Diamond Club,
girls.
Frog Pants, all of them.
Yes, Diamond Club too. But it was a step, it was an acknowledgement, it was using his art for good, which I always am a sucker for that. The other thing I wanted to do is, while we're talking about making our own voices heard and stepping up, because men are afraid to approach us. Like you said, the one thing Scott mentioned was, well, women didn't ask. And I guess he was trying to understand why, and he does, but he also was afraid to ask because he didn't want to be that guy. Like, when there's an opportunity, and like, I don't want to be seeing tokenism being the danger, that the
Like
trap
the
that both
fact
sides are
that,
falling into and
just like the
destroys
fact that we
opportunities.
chose not to have only female guests on this show, when we made this show, that was a big thing where people were like, "Is that your thing, though? It's all girls?" And it was like, okay, yeah, it's our thing, but we can have male guests. The thing is that how many podcasts do you know where there's only female hosts? Okay, now how many podcasts do you know where there's only male hosts? Like, here's the thousands of them, So
But
that is
people
the
got mad at
point.
us. What are you doing having men on? Like, why would we not? We want to
Also, we
normalize.
can do whatever we want because it's our show. And
Yeah.
we can do that. It's cool.
But
Anyway, but
when
yeah.
I used to be on a show called Part-Time Gamers with Cyrenex, and he and his host, they had a third host and they lost one, and he put out there, like, who wants to be a host on the show? We could use a third. It's a good dynamic. And I emailed him and I straight up said, like, I want this. I think I'd be good at this. And you should have a women's voice on a show reviewing games. And he had somebody in mind, like a buddy of theirs, knew both of them already. They had a rapport. They had already talked to him about it. And then he was just like, you know what, though? You're right. That's an excellent point. And they brought me in. And I loved doing that show. Eventually, ironically, it faded because Sean started having kids, which is the thing that women, you know, often it's like you can't be promoted because you're going to get too busy because you're going to have kids. Yeah.
Actually, in the lawsuit, it mentioned that several women were told, we're not going to promote you because what if you decide you like being a mom?
Can we talk about that they kicked women out of breastfeeding rooms?
Yeah, that's... you can't see if you're not live, but I'm sitting here crocheting very angrily as we're talking about this.
Yeah, you started going much faster all of a sudden.
Just the frustration faces.
And one of the things that I just want to call out real quick is that people calling out people that haven't quit their jobs at Blizzard, shut up, okay? If you had a job for, it doesn't matter how long you've had a job for, you can't throw your livelihood in a trash can, okay? And so even if there is something to be said, many of the employees that do care did do a walkout. They've done what they can, but you can't ask people to put their livelihood at risk. That's just dangerous. There's not... Anyway, I just want to call that out because that was one of the things that did bother me a little bit in the community were the folks that said that. And then there was a lot of people that were like, well, why didn't anybody say something sooner? Because being a woman in that situation is friggin' terrifying. I've sat in an HR room, tried to explain, and do you want to know what the woman's response was? Oh, yeah, it was when my boss had asked me why I wasn't working out as much as I could and how he was worried about my weight, and I'm in a friggin' call center, and I'm like, I got no time for you. So I sat there in an HR room, and she's just like, well, did you tell him that the comments make you uncomfortable explicitly? Should I have to? Really? And they were like, well, let's start with that. And then if that doesn't solve the problem, it was already said. Now I already have this in my mind and don't feel comfortable coming into work anymore. Like, it's not going to go away. And it's just going to be something different. But the point is that those conversations with HR do not do much, okay? They don't do much. They're scary. They're intimidating. Livelihood, you know? You don't want to jeopardize your job, but you also want to be able to go to your job and be comfortable. I guess what I'm saying is just chill out on some of the employees over there. And they're not all bad. Just because Activision Blizzard is being looked at does not mean that everyone who works there is and has been bad. So you have to just remember that.
And there was a conversation. I watched a couple different YouTubers that generally, like, their livelihood is connected to Blizzard, to WoW, to Hearthstone. And, like, these are people who went to, like, every BlizzCon. And, like, some of them would even talk about, like, soft warning of other employees. Like, just be careful around this person. They can be excitable or handsy, trying to casually but not rock the boat, steer people away from dangerous situations like the Crosby Suite.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really... Now we're getting an idea of just how much more there is to that, as opposed to just kind of a lighthearted... I've been to LARPs before where we have... Before we... I don't want to say new better, but before it was more of a general conscious awareness.
Broken stairs.
Yeah, it would be like, hey, maybe if you can avoid it, don't be alone with this person. If you need a buddy to stay with you during a situation, but because of the at the time, it didn't feel like it was an appropriate thing to come out aggressively about due to whatever.
Why?
Don't
why do they have
don't
to
worry
live like this?
The LARPs that we are a part of now have a much better
Yes.
Community, and we don't stand for that shit. but we, the little aside is we called them broken stairs because everyone that was there already knew, they knew that that step was broken, that person was a problem, but they just knew to skip over it or to avoid it.
Yep.
They don't cause enough of an issue to actually, you know, be banned or asked not to come back or whatever it was. And yeah. I can just see that.
I mean, I have friends that have been leaving LARP organizations still because they're not willing to come out and put people to task who should be. And it's very common. It's a very common problem. And again, this is why I bring up the fact that this is not unique to Activision Blizzard. I want to be really clear. It's
no,
just
this
not.
This is outright consent culture versus rape culture.
Yes. And workplace issues with women. Okay, some things have gotten better, but some things have gotten so much worse because it's so easy for the comments and the looks and the, I mean,
I
sound ridiculous going to HR being like, they're putting boxes of tissues on my desk.
Yeah.
And okay. HR is like, oh, well, that's nice of them.
That's not why they're doing it, though.
Yeah. And another thing about this whole thing that, like, just pisses me off is that Activision Blizzard has banned people from playing their games for the exact same behavior.
Yeah.
They have banned people. Like, nope, you can't be a player anymore in our game. And just all of this shit going on in the background of, like, the corporate... I want to punch something. It's just, it's...
And the heartbreak
do as we say,
of,
not as we do.
The heartbreak of all the community, all the friends they, like, made in the game. And the art, like, the stories being told. It's another, like, finding out one of your favorite authors is just awful. And this is an entire world that I've literally spent years in. And now I'm handing off, dismantling a guild. And
so that's one of the things that I want to say, too. I have chosen not to stop playing. And part of the reason is because I had to really weigh. I was saying, you know what, these guys don't get to fucking take away my hobby that is one of my best releases and one of my best, like, social interactions that I get, and they're not going to take that away from me. I'm not going to be treated that way and have that taken away from me. So I have chosen to continue to play. I also pay for my sub, like, 6 months or a year at a time, and it just renewed a week before this news hit, so that was great. So that's the other thing, is that, like, I've paid for it, but... You know, I feel like everybody has a right to make that decision. You know, as some of our raid team have chosen to take a hiatus. You know, I raid with the Filthy Casuals. Whoop, whoop, shout out. But some of them have decided to take a hiatus. Some of them have not. Some of them have decided to continue to raiding. And there's been no judgment on either side. And I really appreciate that. That's part of the reason I'm with such an awesome raid team, is that there is no judgment either way. But it really brings me to Hazel. Hazelnutty Games is somebody I really love watching, and the point that she made was, like, she just wanted them to become the company that you could be a fan of, right? That you could be proud of, and maybe this will give the, you know, maybe there'll be a pathway for them to do that. I mean, so far most of the statements have not been very promising. But hopefully they will decide to do what's right. The big they, I don't know, it sounds kind of weird to say it that way, but they'll decide to make it right and make it so that we can feel good about Blizzard again. So I guess that's my question, is what would they need to do to make you feel right about coming back September as someone who has stepped away? I guess I'm just curious.
Yeah, because that's going to be a thing. Sorry, I'm reporting a chat person.
Reporting them bots?
Reporting them bots. Well, for me, what I did was my sub was going to be good until August 7th. I took some gold because I decided, well, they can also just not have my time I invested. So I spent the gold to get a token in the auction house, and it gave me another month. So September 7th is when I'll be leaving. And one of my guildmates wants to take the guild. I was going to disband it, but he's in for the long haul. So that's fine. They gotta do more actual firing. Francis being there right now after what just happened, where she only kind of left and went to another position that is relevant to this bullshit, she's gotta go. She's more than the president needed to go, and he's got a long history apparently. That as much as there were stories coming out, and I was like, wow, he's getting scapegoated because he was the only one that people were saying, well, he actually stood up for me when this happened. Yeah, he also had sexual harassment shit at his previous company, so good thing he's gone. But that Francis woman has to go. I want to see an end, at least an end, to contract-based employment. I want to see, I'd love to see unionization. I think it's really interesting that even like there are industry leaders calling for unionization in the entire gaming industry. Like, that's my high bar ideal. But if they would at least end contract-based employment, make reparations for all the women who have been underpaid, I want to see all of those things at least.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe not the contract-based employment. I just don't know if that's such an industry thing. I don't know if that's something that will happen. But I do agree with the overhaul, the reparations.
Or have the contracts leave off stuff like mediation, right? Like,
sure.
I think
sure.
Amazon recently
even... But
that's
a big problem with at-will employment. That's a problem. That's a big problem just in general, that at-will employment is a thing that exists. You know what I mean? Where they can just be like, oh, we didn't fire you because you're black. We fired you because you screwed this thing up. Yeah, that's why. That's the problem, is that, like, I think that's, like, such a big problem. I don't know. So I guess what I'm saying is I agree with you on every other point. That would make me nervous.
From mediation by any outside entity is immoral.
Sure. Agree. I think that I agree with you on the reparations for sure. I think that there are reparations that are owed. I think that would be a start. I think that making a targeted effort, I think that the industry needs to take a hard look at itself and figure out maybe unions are the key there. Unionization possibly, but doing something to protect employees in the industry, especially from things like this, because if Activision Blizzard is doing it, what do you think the companies that are under the microscope are doing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe this will be the catalyst.
I hope so. Yeah.
I mean,
because female developers have been drastically underpaid compared to their male counterparts for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's one of those industries where it's still just way too disparate.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as somebody who doesn't currently have an active subscription, at least I'm relatively sure it's not active anymore, because I hop back in and out of WoW and Hearthstone, and like BlizzChung I dropped, and I'm like, and then after Shadowlands came out and everybody's like, no, it's really, really good, come back, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to come back, and I'm like, I enjoyed it, and then again, it just... And I saw this with some of the other like streaming channels that I used to watch, is some of them, not all of them, some of them were already planning on taking a break and stepping away from like Blizzard content. They weren't agreeing with the game, and then this came to light and a lot of people have just like, we're done. And that's good. And that's understandable. That's kind of where I'm at too. But I also understand, like, no, this is where my friends are. This is where I have family, I have investments. And on the other side, if everybody quits, what does that do to the employees? The good ones, the ones that we want to support, the people who are still there because that's their job. So it's this real, I want to see change. I want change to be the better. I want there to be more opportunities for women to go into the ranks, especially women of color. I would like it not to be a thing where a woman's vagina is shown around a Christmas party for the company, or a poor somebody feels like the only way out is death. I would like that not to ever happen again anywhere. But I'm not gonna also get mad at anybody who wants to continue to play. Like, I understand. It's really frustrating, and I want Blizzard to become a company that I can go back to and be like, they changed. They saw that what they did was wrong. They have made these reparations. They have made these changes for the better to prove to us that they are a company that we can continue to be proud to be fans of. And I want other companies to take notice of that.
I was so hurt and so disappointed and felt so lied to and disillusioned by all this, and then the response has not shown anywhere near the kind of remorse and motivation to fix things that I wanted, and
It lacked a
it's been a
lot of
while now.
compassion, is what it lacked. It was very
Absolutely.
corporate drivel bullshit.
That's another thing they need to add. They need to have some serious, like, I want to see
So
what their benefits are like.
some of the statements, I guess I didn't get as bothered by because I understand that there are financial repercussions to this as well. You know, as someone who had Activision Blizzard stock, this was rough for me. I lost money. That sucked. But I know legally there are some, you know, they have to do the we didn't do anything wrong first because of the fiduciary responsibility. The problem is that that creates a very complicated and complex situation. At the same time, I think there are ways that you make a statement that seems like you actually give a fuck without, you know, jeopardizing that. And it could have been handled differently, and it
You
could have been
would
handled
think
better, and it wasn't.
with the creative force within that company, they could have crafted some better fucking letters. I mean, come on. You know, and with the whole Horde versus Alliance thing, there's always that, what if we're the bad guys?
Yeah.
My
Oh.
son, I took him to the dentist today, by the way, and he said, "You and Dad still have Horde and Alliance stuff on your vehicles." "I'm giving it a little time before I rip those off." Like,
I
but
was
he
about
called
to
me
get
out.
my Horde and Alliance tattoo. That was literally the tattoo that I was sending over to a tattoo artist. I got a recommendation for a tattoo artist in town. I got it drawn up, and now I think I'm probably gonna end up getting a WASD tattoo instead. But I was planning on getting the one that I was gonna do half Horde, half Alliance, and I would and now I'm like, ooh, I don't really want to get a Blizzard tattoo. And who would have guessed in a million years would Jen be the one who wouldn't be like, give me a Blizzard tattoo? I mean, I've just been such I've always been they've been on a pedestal in my mind. They have been like the epitome of what it means, the way that the attention to detail at their BlizzCon events is ridiculous. The things that they do are just amazing. The work that they produce, incredible. So clean it up. Make me want to be a fan of you again.
Exploited women to do it. All right, I'm starting to have an anxiety attack. Let's hey anybody, I'll put a lot of links in the note to different takes on this, different articles we've read, to the show we did when we were feeling very positive about our place in the world as women. But we're gonna keep pushing forward and doing the right thing and speaking up and being a voice for women everywhere and demanding our voices be heard and we're treated equally. Please chime in with your thoughts by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at geekgrills. Remember, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be Monday the 16th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to be, it's not going to be a book club.
Nope,
We're going to be
you put in
talking
both.
to Hammond Chamberlain, who is an amazing podcaster, producer, editor, and that should be a wonderful conversation next week.
All right. And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You're the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. And you can check out what topics we're going to do in the next month on our schedule below on our Twitch page. And if you're a patron, you can suggest a topic for us. We'd love to hear your ideas.
Now, where can we find you all on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's M-I-S-C. And you can check out my website store at madcapm.com.
You can find me on Instagram under Dappledame and on Twitch as Ray Ino.
And you can find me at The Gen Says on Twitter. When I get back to streaming again, it'll be at The Gen Play, twitch.tv/TheGen. But really, you can just find everything at The Gen Says on Twitter because that's where I put all my important stuff. Oh, shout out. Next week, I'm going to be on Joystick and Mounts next week. So check that out when you get a chance.
Cool. I can be reached at 9F12 on Twitter and Twitch. You can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast on Wednesday evenings. You can check out their schedule at twitch.tv/heresyandhearsay. If you go listen to Wait, Haven't You Seen? Or TV's Travis's channel here on Twitch, I was on his show yesterday talking about Season of the Witch because it's Nick Cage month. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.